Good morning, Maywood here in this room and downstairs and over in the youth chapel. And I'm Coach Jake. We here at Maywood, we losing it. We call all the pastors here at Maywood coaches because we believe that God's called us to be a team and that you have gifts and you can do things that I cannot do and that God wants to use us as a team together. Today, I want to start us off with a little story about a city bus. And so this city bus was valued at an incredible amount. So how much money do you guys think somebody paid for this bus? Got some, like, I don't know, looks old, looks fancy, looks, you know, in good shape, but old, right? So a museum in Detroit, I think it's a Henry Ford Museum, paid $400,000 for this bus. It did not look like this when they got it. And then they spent, I think in total, they did some fundraising, I think they spent like $500,000 restoring it. So you're looking at like $900,000 in bus form, I guess. And some of us look at me and think, like, what could be so special about a bus that would inspire anybody to spend that sort of money, right? If I had to put it in one word about what would be so special about that bus, the word would be suffering. So this bus is the same bus that Rosa Parks was sitting in 1955 and got arrested for not getting up and moving to give a seat to some white folks on the bus. And so it's not special because a bunch of people wrote it. It's not special because happy things happened on there. It's actually special because of suffering that happened right there on that bus and then what happened in response to that. Today, strangely enough, that whole thing with Rosa Parks, it started in early December in 1955. And we're in early December. You know, we've got Christmas stuff decorated all around that Rachel and the hosting team did a great job with. We are taking a break from Ephesians, but we're going to take a break for Christmas, not headed towards Luke or towards Matthew. We're going to look at this idea of Jesus coming to earth, God with us, Emmanuel. We're going to look at why did Jesus come with this lens, specifically looking at the idea of suffering. So we're going to go to some different spots in the Bible, but today we're going to specifically talk about that suffering, something that Jesus wants to do with us. And suffering can actually be the path to great things, to new life. So I'm going to change mics here. And you're okay. Okay, thank you guys. So for that passage, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews has a lot to say, and we're only going to look at a few verses, but there's two things that I've been praying would happen during this sermon, and the first one is one that I cannot do. The first one is that Jesus himself would be visible to you guys, that through us in this time right now, we could see Jesus better and love him more. And so here in just a second, I want us to pray again because that's something that I cannot do. Only Jesus can reveal himself through the Holy Spirit today. The second thing I believe Jesus himself won't do, and I think it's something that only you guys have the power to move today, and that's he won't force you to believe or trust or obey. But if we pray together, I think we can make a move on both those points. You can say, Jesus, I really want to see you. And I believe Jesus will respond to that, and it opens the door of your heart. So I'm going to lead us, but it only matters if you guys are saying this yourselves. Jesus, we want to see you. Jesus, we want to love you. Do whatever it takes for us to love you more. Amen. That last little part there is a big deal. So when we look at this verses, we're going to read through it. First thing we're looking for is not what's my lesson for me. I want you guys just looking at who is Jesus and trying to find new way even to love him, okay? So let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 7. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth. So this is Emmanuel. This is when God himself became flesh among us. Fully God, fully human. And Hebrews is going to help us understand why did Jesus do that. Because Jesus didn't just skyrocket down onto the cross. He came to live a life here on earth. And that's what we celebrate with Christmas, is that God came to earth to live as one of us. So it says, during his life here on earth, Jesus offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. So the first thing we see is that during Jesus' life on earth, not even just right at the end in the garden or something. Here, let's go back to verse 7. That Jesus was praying. And petition means to ask over and over and over. He's praying in this fervent way to God, even with tears. And right away, I'm challenged, because I think when I pray, if someone followed me with a camera all the time, or even if they could see into my heart, they would not describe me as this type of prayer person, right? I'm not desperately crying out to God for help. But that's what we see here, is Jesus desperately crying out to God, because what he's about to go through is going to be so horrendous. Normally we think about Jesus coming and we think about the cross and the price that Jesus paid for us. We think about the idea that I've made mistakes. I need help getting off of the bad things I've done. I'm so glad Jesus footed the bill. You know, I'm so glad Jesus suffered for me. I think today, and probably for a lot more than today, it's worth thinking about what was it like for Jesus? We know a piece, at least, of the challenge he was facing was making him so desperately going to God, asking for God to save him. We normally think about that from Jesus, but asking, God, if there's some other way that we can do this, I don't want to go through what I'm about to have to go through. Do you think about that? Jesus saw how much pain was ahead, and he didn't want to do it. It was hard, as strange as that sounds for when you're describing something for God. It's hard. But I also want you to think about what's the heart of Jesus, that something that's so hard, that drives him to tears, that drives him to ask over and over desperately, he is the type who constantly takes all of that hurt and he's taking it to God. Think about the hurt that you face and how you try to self-medicate or cover it up or ignore it or avoid it. Jesus isn't avoiding it. He's taking it to God and asking for help. So let's go on to verse 8. And he, talking about Jesus, was heard because of his reverent submission. Let's stay with 7. Sorry, I'm going real slow. Sorry, Bryce, or whoever's on slides. But reverent submission. Philippians chapter 2 really pulls this out even deeper if you want to look there later. This idea that Jesus didn't hold his status as like, I'm so important, I deserve better. He reverently submitted to God's plan. Have you ever met somebody that has maybe an inkling of that, who they give up what they deserve or what they could have, and they come down very humbly to do whatever the game plan is? If you've ever had somebody like that on your team, who will go anywhere, do anything, because they're fully bought in. I mean, it's just, it's incredible to have somebody who doesn't hold back with a, I deserve better, this is too hard. If you've ever been around somebody like that, it's easy to love someone like that, who doesn't think so highly of themselves, but submits to God. If you've been around somebody like that, it's easy to fall in love with that sort of person, right? Jesus was perfectly that way. And it says God heard him because of his reverent submission. Think about your prayer life. In Sunday school today, we were talking a lot about praying for ourselves. And some people think, it's hard for me to pray by myself. I feel selfish if I'm praying for myself. Jesus here is praying for himself. But he's praying for himself in reverent submission to God. If you want to imitate Jesus this week, that's a great way to imitate him. God, here's my problems. Here's what I want. But I'm fully going to do whatever you tell me to do. Avoiding praying about yourself is a trick of Satan to keep you far away. But going to God with exactly what you want, even if it's not his plan, and saying, God, this is what I want. Please help me. But God, I'm going to stay and listen, and I will do it your way. That is a Christ-like way to pray. So then, our final verse that we're going to look at today. Son though he was, he is the Son of God. He learned obedience from what he suffered. Another place in Hebrews, it will talk about Jesus being made perfect through the obedience that he suffered. We get into some things here in Hebrews I don't fully understand. And the amazing thing is, if you get close to Jesus, any sort of closeness to Jesus, you're going to start to run into things that you can't fully grasp. Jesus is already perfect from all eternity. I know that that is true. He is God. John chapter 1, Colossians, there's lots of places to look for that. But in Hebrews, it's unpacking for us this idea of why did Jesus come to earth? Why was this God's plan? Even if Jesus needed to die, why live for 30 or so years on earth? What was the plan there? And Hebrews spends a lot of time unpacking that part of God's plan was for Jesus to somehow expand through that experience. I'm not saying he wasn't perfect before, but somehow becoming one of us was the pathway for him to be our great high priest. The one who could fully understand exactly what Timber is facing every day of his life. The one that could feel whatever temptation Molly has felt this week, Jesus is able to say, like, I know what it feels like to go through that sort of temptation. Jesus in some way expanded or learned, it says here, through what he experienced on earth. He was able to become the perfect connection between us and God. We think about Christmas, I think we normally think about what is Jesus doing for us. But also at Christmas, God is doing something to or for Jesus. He is actually molding Jesus into the role that Jesus has forevermore of being our high priest. Jesus, this is also strange, Jesus never sinned. And yet, to some, it seems like here, the way I understand it, Jesus needed to suffer to be all that God wanted him to be. There's a lot of suffering that we go through because, in a small analogy way, it's like a little kid touching a stove and their hand burns. If you do something foolish, a lot of times you have suffering in your life. And a lot of us have experienced consequences directly resulting of things we've done that we shouldn't have done. That's one form of suffering, and it has lessons to teach us. Jesus goes through a type of suffering that has nothing to do with consequences that he deserves. Jesus went through suffering that had nothing to do with consequences that he deserved. If you're in the room today and you're saying, I want to follow Jesus, I believe that means that just like Jesus went through suffering so he could be fully who God wanted him to be for the purpose God had, for the people God was sending him to, God is going to put things in your life that are hard, or he's going to utilize things that are already in your life, or however to phrase that. But part of God's plan for you is going to involve utilizing suffering to expand you, to grow you, to teach you. Because if it's the path that God put Jesus on, it's a path God's going to put us on to some extent in some smaller way. So what does that mean for us today? It means this year has been a hard year for most people. I got to talk to somebody this morning who's had a really good 2020, but for most people, they've had a lot of suffering they didn't expect this year. And even if it has nothing to do with coronavirus, everybody's got some sort of suffering in their life. Every heart knows its own sorrow, is how Proverbs puts it. Like, there's things going on in Chris's life that Justin doesn't understand. And there's things going on in Justin's life that Chris doesn't understand, right? All of us have some sort of pain. But what if you took that pain to Jesus in the same way that Jesus took it to God? And he said, here's my pain, and I'm going to be honest, this is how it feels, and this is what I want. It is okay to tell God, this is what I want. Jesus did that. But what if your prayer also had a Jesus, whatever you say, I'll do? Because here's what I have found out about obedience in my life. Let's go on to this next verse. It says, once made perfect. It's talking about Jesus. Jesus, through suffering, made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. This is our final verse today. Here's what I found out about obedience. Sometimes obedience leads to blessing. I can track it in my own life, probably in your own life. If you've done something God said to do, there's probably times where your life went better because you did something God told you to do. And I'll tell you, that has a purpose for us. That builds trust. I trust God more because he took care of me at certain points where I did what he said I should do, right? There have been times in my life where I did what God wanted me to do, and it led me into pain. The most lonely I've ever felt was because I was living somewhere God told me to go live and doing what God told me to do. It was the loneliest season I've ever had in my whole life. And I could have turned my back on what God wanted me to do and been surrounded by friends. There's other examples. There's lots of examples we could go into today. If you follow Jesus, there's going to be times where following him leads you to pain, to suffering. And what I'll tell you is, in those blessed moments where I'm blessed because of obedience, I am full of God's joy, and I trust him more. It's a trust builder. The times when I hurt because I'm following Jesus are the closest times I've ever felt to God. The most intimacy I've ever felt like I had, the most like pure I feel like my heart has been, because that's what allows us to see God. Jesus says in Matthew 5, that we'll be blessed if we're pure in heart because we'll see God. The most pure my heart's ever been is when it hurts to obey. And it's made me closer in those moments than I've ever been at any other time. So here's the question I have for you today. If you could choose, after hearing those two things, which sort of experience would you want? Would you want obedience that leads to blessing or obedience that leads to pain? Because on one hand, I described a lot of happiness and trust in God. Those aren't bad things. On the other hand, I described intimacy with Jesus. So many of us have been chasing after happiness, either in wrong ways or even in healthy ways. How many of us are chasing after, I want to know Jesus no matter what it costs me, no matter how it feels, I want to be closer to him. If we have a heart that says, Jesus, I want to know you no matter what it costs me, Jesus will answer that prayer. And when you go through suffering with that sort of attitude of, I trust that God is going to perfect me, that he's working on me, expanding me, helping me learn and grow, even when I suffer. Now it starts to make sense how when James says, consider it joy when you face hard things, it starts to make sense. If you trust that God is working in your life to change you so you can be more full of him, then you see the challenges in a whole new way, right? So I've got one last picture here for you guys today. This is Rosa Parks getting fingerprinted in 1955. This is right after she got pulled off the bus. Many people in this room have gotten fingerprinted by cops before, you know, right? But there's probably not pictures of that moment. And if there were, like, nobody puts them up on a big screen and cares about them, right? It's because getting fingerprinted by a cop is not significant, right? Getting arrested is not significant. But let me read you about a quote from Rosa Parks about what she did. She said, I felt the Lord would give me strength to endure whatever I had to face. God did away with all my fear. It was time for someone to stand up, or in my case, sit down. I refused to move. You know, we don't hear that about Rosa Parks very much, but she carried a Bible around with her. She's an advocate her whole life for racial justice, but also she was a Christian, a strong Christian her whole life. And she trusted God knowing she was going to suffer. And the bus driver that goes back to talk to her says she needs to move, and she says she won't. And he says, well, I'm going to have to call the police if you won't move. And she says, you may do so. I think or something like that. You know, it's respectful, but it's just this, like, I am ready to suffer for this. Now, Rosa Parks is not Jesus. Nobody is Jesus. But we have this little image, right? This little moment where she's acting in a Christ-like manner, right? She's willing to suffer for what's right. Christmas is about Jesus in action saying, I will suffer for you. Whatever you're going through today, Jesus doesn't ask you to suffer without first saying, I will suffer for you. God brought Jesus through everything he went through here on earth with a purpose. And all that pain resulted in new life, right? New life for Jesus and new life for us. If you've never accepted Jesus before, here's the basic deal. You've done things in your life that dishonored God. You trashed something beautiful that God gave you. You hurt people, right? Jesus came to pay for all of that. Jesus didn't deserve any pain, but he took pain that you deserved. You don't have to act perfect to get Jesus. You have to say, Jesus, I believe in you. And Jesus, I want to give you my life. I want my life to be about you. That's what faith is. The obedience, if we could go back to that final verse, verse 9, Jesus is the source of salvation for all who obey. We obey when Jesus is our source. If you're trying to do the right thing without having Jesus, you're going to have a hard time. If you try to live even the rest of today doing the right thing without being connected to Jesus, you're going to have a hard time. But if you today will say, I'm going to first and only priority is to be full of Jesus, and I'm going to try to just reverently submit to whatever he tells me to do, my best guess after I listen to him, after I spend some time with him, my best guess, here's what Jesus wants me to do. I'm going to go talk with him as I do it. That's what it's about. You know, Rosa Parks in 1955, it's easy to look at that. I think it was December 1st she got arrested. A few days later, the Montgomery boycotts, bus boycott started. That was the first like giant segregation protest in America. And it ended, let me look at my notes here, it ended December 20th. And that's how a lot of us want to think about life, right? But it wasn't December 20th, 1955. It was December 20th, 1956, right? So there's more than a full year of people saying, what happened to Rosa Parks isn't right. We're going to stop riding the bus. A bunch of people came down with cars to Montgomery, and people were sharing rides like crazy and trying to like make work stuff work. Rosa Parks got fired from her job. You know, she's in jail for about 24 hours, but she got fired from her job the next day. Lots of people suffered, right? But together as a team, they said, we're going to suffer for a purpose. Independence has suffered a lot, but a lot of our suffering hasn't been for a purpose. What if we as a group said, we're going to do whatever Jesus calls us to do, and we're going to suffer for his purpose? If it takes more than a year, however long it takes, we're willing to suffer because he suffered for us. Jesus wants to use suffering in your life as a way to give you and other people new life. Let me pray a blessing over everybody in Fellowship Hall, Youth Chapel, at home as well. Jesus, I thank you for suffering for us, for living on earth so you could really understand us, so you could be the perfect bridge for us. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I pray for each person in this room with me and all over listening. I pray that we would trust you in our suffering, that we would pray to you and tell you what we really feel, but submit to you and what you want us to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Final quick thought for you guys. I got some advice from somebody, and I went through this whole sermon, and I didn't do a very good job of following it. I didn't get super practical. What does it look like to suffer for Jesus? So if you're listening right now, here's like a boom, 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 boom. Get practical. If you're struggling with something on your phone that constantly is pulling you away from Jesus, would it be the right step to say, I need to get rid of this phone. I need to have a dumb phone. Or I need to get rid of the internet on my phone. Or I need to get an accountability partner or whatever. Or get internet out of your house or whatever that is. Maybe you need to physically move from where you're living. And maybe it's going to be painful, but you know that is the step of obedience in my life, right? Maybe it's apologizing to somebody, and you know it's going to hurt to say that. Maybe it's getting up before the kids get up and spending time with Jesus because you know the rest of the day you won't have that chance. I don't know what it is for you, but if you feel real good right now, but you don't have a step, that's when you ask Jesus, what do I do? Thank you, guys. God bless you.